very much. Again, my name is John Milberg, and they put me in this section with a title that came later, namely patient care. So we can focus on that and ask me any questions about it, but you'll see not as much of that in this. Really, what I want to describe is more of a story, which is just the arrow here, of the development of the software, how it originated, why it came about. How it came about, describe the main features of it, describe some of the users, both domestically and just briefly internationally. Focus on one large grantee user, just as an example of some of the very effective ways of approaching multi-system informatics issues. The state of Florida, they spoke yesterday, and if anyone who saw their talk saw, got a flavor of some of the complicated work they are doing. And give you a sense of how CareWare, which is just one software application that is used in one disease, HIV, how we have evolved and how I feel we need to evolve so CareWare as one application fits into a larger HIT environment. And then the magic next slide button. What does it do? It's not going. Okay. So briefly, let me just describe where I work, what we do. I'm in the Health Resources and Services Administration, which is part of DHHS. We have a number of bureaus which address primary care and other issues for underinsured and uninsured. I work in the HIV/AIDS Bureau. We administer the Ryan White Act. It's got a newer name, but Treatment Extension Act. Which was reauthorized in 2009, which is a large amount of funding for primary ambulatory care and a variety of wraparound social support services for people who are HIV infected and who are, again, as I said, uninsured or underinsured. As a single program, we're the largest payer of HIV care and supporter of that. Medicaid is bigger in a larger sense, Medicare. We also, as part of the primary care, there's a very large component, which is the AIDS Drug Assistance Program, or ADAP, which are administered by states. Florida is a little more complicated with some regional, but as for those who are aware of HIV, you know, the cost of drugs and access to drugs is still a huge issue, and the cost is still very large in the United States, so that becomes little less than half of the $2 billion that we dole out to states as grantees. So we don't run the programs. We give money out to states and cities, as the last bullet says, in a variety of formula that are ascertained from the number of people living with HIV in each of the states, and the money goes out accordingly. It gets more complicated than that. But that's how it works. So we'll give money to the state of Florida. They in turn, the state will fund a bunch of providers of HIV care. And then that would be the grantee. There's also cities that get the highly affected cities will also receive monies, and they in turn will set up contracts with providers of care. So the grantees, the states or the cities are really setting up contracts. There are some that are direct contracts in essence with us, but that's the bulk of it. But I don't want to belabor that anymore. When I started, my background was in epidemiology. I had worked in New York City Health Department. That's neither here nor there, although I was there when the HIV epidemic was really coming to a boil in the early 80s. When I got to HRSA later on, became rapidly clear to me and to others that the data that we were receiving, which was aggregate data from each of the providers, just racial distribution, services provided, some very rudimentary clinical information, there was a lot of doubts about the quality of that data. And because it was not based on client-level information, so I'm going to make that distinction always between aggregate and client-level data, even if it's got some anonymous identifier or quasi-anonymous, once you get aggregate data, there ain't much you can do with it. So there was a lot of concern over the quality of data, and this was sort of early on. I mean, health information systems and a number of other issues were sort of just coming to a boil, and there were some issues early on and fears about which placed impediments and barriers on developing systems, namely in terms of confidentiality and privacy, which were particularly acute in the HIV setting. So those issues were very paramount and created a lot of fears about, certainly about sending data to the feds, but also even in state levels of collecting client-level data. When I looked at it, I understood that, but if you're providing care, you have to know the individual. You want to bring up their patient record. So obviously the clinics were dealing with client or patient level. We call them clients in our program. So we had questionable data. We realized that we needed some standardized tools for reporting. There were real limitations out there in terms of resources. Surprise, surprise. Should a clinic go ahead, should State X go ahead and build its own software application? Certainly they could, but if we had everybody building that, that would seem not to be a very efficient use of funding. And plus, their funds were going towards providing care and paying for actual services for people with HIV. The last bullet is really to just say there was also this major concern that because data were not derived when they came to us on a client level, where each line of data is a client, where we can analyze it, we were getting aggregate data, and we just really weren't clear about the validity and the reliability of that information. So we developed CareWare and released it in 2000, which was really to address these issues. It's a clinical information system which has a number of functions that have evolved over time, but it really was to develop, to provide and fill a hole very early on for very basic client-level reporting at the clinic. Now, just so you're clear, this is a distributed application that's run at the providers of care. I don't run it. Just very briefly, some of the functionality was released in 2000, as I mentioned, in Access, which became very quickly problematic, as one could imagine. We released it and rebuilt it in about 2005. It's built in .NET, a Microsoft obviously one product with a SQL Server database that you set up. For those who are interested more of the technical aspects of it, I'd be happy to talk about it. The original functionality was very limited in scope to provide very basic way of collecting demographics on your clients, some services that they receive, and some very core basic clinical information. But at least it had a standardized template and platform in which providers could track that data. And then hopefully when they hit the magic button, they could submit it to us in a standardized format. Eventually, as it evolved, we have really, and I'll focus on this in terms of the patient care aspect, which is the subject, more of the focus of this setting here. But we really developed a lot of customizable and other functionality to monitor the quality of care. And as performance measures have become essential, that's become really I think the most important part of our software, which is the ability to get data out that's meaningful, that allows you to track the quality of care and make it fully customizable in that regard. We are, and I'll get into this later, but it's fully configurable either as a standalone. We have a lot of small run standalone clinics all over the country, and it's also set up as a full wired area network. So it's very configurable in that way. What it is not is probably the most important thing for some people. It's not a certified EHR yet. So it's got a lot of functionality that one would recognize as modules that could get certified. Whether that will happen, I don't know. But it's not a certified EHR. So actually getting data from EHRs into CareWare and vice versa becomes a very important issue, which I'll address later. Critically, the software is not mandated by our bureau, and I hope I didn't give that impression. What is mandated is what you report to us. Whether you use clay tablets or an abacus or a mainframe, it doesn't matter. We have a standard set of data. So very briefly, this is not a demo of the software, but I want you to get a flavor for the variety of things that it does. We have a very wide array of getting data in, collecting demographics, longitudinal information on the services, medications, labs, screenings, diagnoses, immunizations. You can need that there. A number of features have been added to do scheduling. We have extensive customization, which has really been essential. We found that to be sort of one of the most important signs of success. Namely, if you want to get the data you want, that's fine, but you got to give all the other features to people so they can customize it. Otherwise, you're not going to get what you want. There's a number of other modules. The reporting functionality is really, as I mentioned, is really critical. Not only does it generate the required outputs for us, both the aggregate and now these client-level exports with an encrypted identifier of a patient, there's full functionality of the custom reports, this performance measure module, which I'll give you a screenshot of. I'll hopefully give you a flavor for that. And a number of clinical encounter reports, again, for managing HIV care, for monitoring the quality of your care, see which patients are falling through the crack. Again, these would be functionality that hopefully would be sort of meaningful, usable modules that any software application would have in clinical care. So certainly one of the biggest issues that's arisen is the ability to bring data into CareWare. I mean, and that would be sort of a main theme of today, because CareWare, because it's not yet this, you know, we never have one-size-fits-all software. So we have a lot of users. They've been using CareWare for a long time, and I'll show you that map in a second. So our software does a lot of things the other EHRs don't do, and vice versa. But they were using it, so they really, and it produced the exports they needed for us, for HRSA. So the biggest issue has arisen is the ability to get data into CareWare from other sources like EHRs and labs. So that's been a major focus of what we've tried to do. So for example, with labs, we have a lab import module. Which parses, to use the buzzword, HL7 formatted data. And those are the clinics set up directly with LabCorp and Quest. So we have a number of clinics that are getting real-time floods of data in, you know, because of HIV care requires a lot of immunologic monitoring and the like. And again, we can talk about that more. There's a number of things here, just so you know. This is a distributed application. So this is run by the state of Florida or the city of Tallahassee or the city of Detroit. You know, so they're running it on a server. That data is not stored at HRSA. The only data we get is de-identified or anonymized data. There are a lot of functionality in the software. I won't go through it, which sort of goes through, if you go through the HIPAA standard guidelines of protection and the like. And a lot of places have done some really wonderful things in terms of improving security. I won't get into that here, but you can read it there. This is just very briefly, I just wanted to show you that it's a real piece of software. Again, I have my laptop here when we're done at some point if you want to see it. So there's a variety of screens for data entry. This is actually from the international screen, and a bunch of tabs. There's also a forms designer. So if obviously your data entry does not mimic our screens, which it never would be, you can drag and drop any field onto a form and create your own. So a number of clinics have done that, both domestically and internationally, to have the data entry screens mimic their own clinical encounter forms. The sort of the pièce de résistance of our software, I think, is the performance module, which was promulgated originally by this has a pointer. I don't know if you can. This is really small. I apologize. It's basically our bureau, the HIV/AIDS bureau, promulgated initially about five main clinical and performance measures. And we're seeking ultimately to get approval of those nationally from the National Quality Forum, which approves these, which allow you to do some basic things such as address some main issues like what proportion of your clients who meet a certain set of criteria have had two or more primary care visits at least 3 months apart? What percentage of your clients have received certain immunologic monitoring at least two times in the year? Things like that. What percentage of women have received a pap smear? Again, this is all based on standard querying of the data. You can use any custom field. It's very sophisticated, so you can actually have, we have like calculated objects so that can handle longitudinal data, because people want to know, what's the CD4 count of my patients? Well, which one? Do you want the last one in the year? Do you want the last one last year? Do you want the highest in the year? Do you want the first? So there's a lot of functionality which allow users who aren't that sophisticated to answer those very, very basic questions. And sort of the upshot is you can build these measures, and again, they're HIV. You could build other measures. You can collect any lab you want. It could be, have you done a cholesterol test, or how many patients have a last cholesterol value in the last 6 months over 250. So it could accommodate any sort of disease in that regard. But the other component of it is not only are you getting numerators and denominators, somewhat akin to these measures that Medicare and Medicaid are looking for these incentive pays, but also critically for the clinic, and to get to the issue at hand here in terms of quality of care, is the ability to drill down to the patient. So if I have, you know, my denominator is all clients who are HIV positive who've had a visit in the last year, and my numerator is those who've only had one visit, I'd obviously want to follow up on those patients, those who are falling through the cracks. So people use these to focus on specific patients, those in the numerator who did not meet the performance measure. We've also built a email alert. So if you're on a network, you'll get an alert that these patients haven't met the certain measure. So that is very briefly. I've just really skated over. There's a lot of functionality in CareWare, and I really didn't want to use this as a demo of the software, but just to give a flavor of how we evolved and how we've disseminated the software. Here's the development model. The model is in quotation marks because it's just how things have evolved. We do work with a private contractor, which had extensive experience in public health information system development. They're based in New Orleans, actually. The features of the software are prompted by the Bureau's needs for reporting. That's really critical, as I mentioned. But a lot of the features have been prompted and some paid for separately by the users themselves. So we get a lot of input, and that's really sort of how the design is. If any user, a grantee, say the city of Denver wanted to build a certain import module from their hospitals into CareWare, they paid for that separately. But our stipulation is that if you pay for something, it becomes part of one version of the software. You don't own it. You know, it's not the Denver import module. Everyone gets it. So that, while the next bullet indicates that CareWare is not open source, it is free. And again, we have this sort of open community of users who, yes, we go through one developer. We have a hard enough time keeping one piece of software going with one developer. So the open source module kind of scares me, but it's worked. This model has worked very well, and we can debate the democratic aspect of that. But it's worked very well for the last 10 years. We've also have a number of inputs from international users, and they have contributed a lot to the features. So let me get to the number of users just so you can see what has happened. So again, we get client-level data from all our providers. So in 2010, CareWare contributed half of all the data we received, 979 out of 1,951 providers. It was used in every state except two, Puerto Rico, and in 17 states, and in Puerto Rico and these other territories, 100% of the providers are using it. And more than half of the ambulatory care providers actually used it. It's configured as a statewide network in the following locations. There's 21 of them there. I listed there to give you a flavor of the. So these are full networks with, again, I'll focus briefly on Florida. But these are, you know, these are large. Some of them are, you know, Oregon, which is one of our earliest one, has about 20 to 25 providers of HIV care. And again, the data are stored centrally in a central server. They work out all their sharing rights across the providers. But it goes from smaller ones to larger ones, such as I mentioned, Florida, certainly our biggest one, and Pennsylvania. The whole island of Puerto Rico has fully networked, so all the HIV care providers are on one main server. There might be San Juan might have its own, and that becomes a political issue in a lot of states. Is you know, the big cities versus the state. We've had some great collaboration in some states like Connecticut, where, again, the grantee is the state, and then there's other large cities like Hartford, the city itself, and the city of New Haven, and they've been able to coordinate so they can share data on one server. Some larger cities as well, Denver, as I mentioned, New Haven, Oakland, and Philly being some of the larger cities, Detroit actually as well, that have, again, networked their HIV care providers who receive Ryan White funding. We have about 17 states that are using it to manage these AIDS drug assistance programs, which are basically state-run pharmacies to distribute antiretrovirals. Obviously a huge issue. Just very briefly, we do have received funding from PEPFAR, which is the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, so over the years. And our main users are in Nigeria, Uganda, and most recently Barbados. And don't ask me about traveling there. Just briefly, a map. The percentage by state here, and the darker the green, basically going up to the darkest being 90 to 100% of all the providers who received money from the CARE Act in each of those sites, what percentage of them used CareWare to submit their data. So you can see there's a lot of confluence down in the South, in Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee, North Carolina, Louisiana. Those are actually all networked sites. Florida, again, about 85% of all the providers. Pennsylvania, another being a big one as well, and Michigan. So in terms of the actual amount of data that we get, the data are submitted to us. They're duplicated in the sense that, so if we're talking about the Washington state, you know, say there's 20 providers in Washington state, or let's think of it in a city, it's easier. Let's just think Seattle. So say there's 20 providers of HIV care in Seattle that they each submit data to us. A patient, I could visit any number of those sites. So each place exports their data. I'm going to be in however many data sets there are that are exported, so I'm going to be duplicated. Now, we do have an algorithm for producing their record ID number we can talk about, so when we get it, we can deduplicate it to the extent we can. But I just wanted to say, just as CareWare has, as I said, half of all the providers that submitted data to us use CareWare, so a very substantial number of providers of care, and then it's about 370,000 duplicated client records in CareWare, so substantial, which was just under 50% of all the client records. So this is a sort of the amount of data we're getting through CareWare is substantial. We have obviously a capacity to do a lot of data analysis, not only on CareWare data, but on others as well. But with the CareWare users, we know they have these, we know how the data are created, we have all this access to the clinics and to their performance measures and the like, so we can really look at quality of care information. Very quickly, I want to just focus on Florida only because they have done an incredible job of implementing CareWare in a very complex, large system in a large state, and have done a wonderful job, I think, sort of as an informatics story in terms of integrating CareWare, which is only one system for, in this case, one disease, integrating that with a number of other applications at the state. And again, they gave a wonderful presentation yesterday where the complexity of that system was made clear, but also what was made clear was how effectively they have been able to integrate things. So in this case, there's been, as I mentioned, eliminating a lot of redundant databases. Now I'm going to talk specifically about HIV and what they've done there. They've interfaced CareWare with other applications, so they're moving data in and out of CareWare. They've eliminated a lot of duplicate data entry. They've eliminated a lot of manual paperwork in terms of using CareWare and using those forms to get data in. And they have, it's huge. It's 90 providers of HIV care, and there's over 700 users knocking on that door. So that's in a SQL server at the state. Gentleman from Florida, Tom, is it? Yeah, but just, you know, if you have more detailed questions. But what's extraordinary is what they've been able to do. This is a slide from gentleman from the state, Rich Power, who gave this to me. So it's a, this is to show, I wanted to make, the overarching story was, as you know, there are all too many software applications in the world. There's too much of a burden at the clinic level there to ask a clinic, one, to learn different software applications, to enter data into multiple systems, certainly not to manually enter it. And then, of course, there's the other burden of multiple reports. So what again, I wanted to illustrate, and again, most starkly in the Florida example, is a number of systems, you can't even see them there. There's about four that they were basically able to eliminate, because these were little homegrown things at each health department or provider, and you know, they had the authority to say, hey guys, enough, we'll move the data out of there. So they took legacy data and moved it into CareWare. They've interfaced CareWare with other systems, and we'll ask the gentleman, Tom from Herring from Florida, if we have any questions about what those systems are. And they use other software integration services through SQL to be able to query multiple databases from different locations, from different diseases, STD, TB. So it's pretty extraordinary, the amount of integration and reduction of duplication. So again, the big issue, and as I come to a close here, really is, how do we get CareWare or other applications that you're working on in your jurisdictions, whatever those might be, how do we get those to work together in a way such that we reduce a lot of the burden to the users, which is the big, huge issue at these clinics, which are very busy. So again, as I mentioned, the biggest issue in CareWare user, among CareWare users, is how do I get my data out of my big Cerner EHR into CareWare? So they don't want to eliminate CareWare. They want to integrate it. It does these things that their other systems don't do. So we've got a lot of individual grantees that are going directly to our contractor. The University of Miami is one big one. The state of Ohio, they've got other big data systems, mainly big, large providers of primary HIV care. Maybe out of Ohio State has a big primary clinic. The University of Miami has all these databases sitting around, adult clinics, pediatric clinics. They want to feed the data and get it out. So there's a lot of functionality using standardized HL7 parsing and the like to get data from other systems into CareWare. And again, I mentioned the LabCorp and the Quest as another big thing, another huge source of information flowing into CareWare as well in real time. I'm not going to bother. This is just sort of a depiction of a standard network, just so you know. We have a central grantee or administrator, like I said, like the state of Florida or the city of Detroit, and they will network these various providers. And these could be primary healthcare providers, but as I mentioned, you know, we also fund a variety of other support services, mental health, substance abuse, a number of other critical things that are important to HIV clients in terms of them stabilizing their life. So I would say that the biggest factors, the biggest things that shape us are these internal pressures I'm using, influences. The Bureau has its own reporting requirements. Those always change. The external factors are becoming much more paramount. Obviously, this whole meeting is about that, namely all the standardization that's being asked for, the meaningful use functionality, patient-centered information, the interoperability, as I mentioned, giving clients access to these. So these are the sort of the pressures that are coming to bear on CareWare and certainly most applications in healthcare, as you know, again, as this meeting is highlighting. Other things that we always have to keep on top of, the ICD requirements and things like that. And certainly we are coordinating with all our federal partners. So we've evolved in the last 10 years to meet a very big gap, I feel, between large EHRs, EMRs, and little standalone access programs. So we fill this big gap. I think that's one of the main reasons our use is so widespread. And there's a number of other reasons for it. And again, the continuing integration of the application into the overall HIT environment and eliminating redundancies in data entry and reporting, and as was illustrated, I think, as being illustrated in Florida and other sites, is the capacity to centrally monitor care throughout a system and be able to do that efficiently. Thank you very much. Right, right.
And John, could you just briefly summarize the question for our virtual attendees?
So if I understand that as HIV care becomes more part of general primary care, we're just seeing a very small slice of things, and that a software application that just focuses on that slice, if I'm capturing what you're saying, really doesn't allow us to fit into the broader environment of care for an HIV patient who's going to be receiving care from an ID, maybe not go to their specific HIV doc, but go to a primary care place that might have a specialist or something. So, I mean, you raise a really great point. Some of it is just we're a victim of, you know, we created a system, you're right, in a narrow world, HIV care, HIV patients that got a lot of attention and you know, some good funding along the way, and many factors will change. And I think in a sort of a Darwinian sense, you know, CareWare, along with the other whatever programs that support it, you know, will go by the way of what's the world going to look like in a couple of years as health insurance reform takes hold. So there may be other sources of funding for these patients, and certainly, as you mentioned, sort of as HIT kind of just transforms and becomes more of a primary care, seemingly a, you know, a seamless network of primary care. So I think you're right. I mean, it may, if it dies on the vine, that's fine. You know, we filled a gap for a period of time. I think we're living still because we, like I tried to say, we fill some gap, which is apparently still very big because we've got a lot of users. I mean, if we had to shut down, I would, but we're getting a lot of people saying, hey, you obviously do something that my other standard big EHR, which is expensive and inflexible, doesn't do. But I think you raise a really good point, and I think the environment will dictate a lot of what happens to us in that regard.